to his life. We ask God for the word now, that we'd have ears to hear it, God, and that he'd be anointed with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, to make it clear, God, what you're saying to these men today. In the name of Jesus, everyone said,
amen. Thanks, bro. Man, so loving being able to be here with you guys. Even if I wasn't speaking, I would love to be here with you guys. You guys are an amazing group of guys. And yeah, I feel like you guys should be up here speaking. I've just met so many with amazing lives and testimonies and hearts. And so I'm honored, is what I'm trying to say, just to be here to speak with you guys and share with you some amazing men. I don't know if you guys all know each other or not, but I grew up in a little town, Aztec, New Mexico. My parents still live in the same house that I grew up in all my life. And so about 6,500 people. So I hear there's about 3,500 here in Tonkawa. So it feels like home to me. This feels like my home church, actually, that I grew up in. I guess I should introduce my family. Should I throw my family up there? Do you guys have a picture of the crew? So this is my family. So my wife, Grace, so we're rich in grace, rich in God's grace. And then Arden, he's here with me this morning in the back row there. Arden's my oldest, 16. Then Eliana, she is 12. And then Zion's 11. And then Salem, 7. So, and they're a wild crew, mainly because I'm their dad. So I'm a wild guy. So they just have to be wild with me. So there's my family. I do want to just quickly just kind of let you guys know who I am, because, you know, I wanted to introduce myself so you know who you're hearing from. I really am just a normal guy, and thankful that Josh invited me up. I love that he was praying just that things would become real to us, because that's really what it's about. It's not about me having some special words. I have the scripture, share some of that, have some stories, I'll share some of that. But really it's about us just meeting with the Lord, meeting with each other, diving in together. So I grew up in that little town, Aztec, and I actually went to church all my life, grew up in the church, but was really pretty dry and crispy on the inside, was fairly suicidal in my younger years, tried to commit suicide twice. And a lot of people that know me now, they're like, man, Richard, just always bubbly, you know, and crazy. And I have a lot of energy. Some call me Tigger for that reason. But back then, I was fairly depressed. I had a lot of struggles. And the Lord slowly came into my life and met me. Even though I was going to church, I wasn't knowing God. And that was a lot of my life. Really, it wasn't until I got into I finished my junior year of high school, was about to go into my senior year of high school, and we got a new youth pastor. And so I went to First Baptist Church of Aztec all of my life, knew everybody there. But this new youth pastor, let's just say he was not Baptist in his heart. Roy would say, that was my youth pastor's name, he'd say he was Bapticostal. And so he was this undercover youth pastor. And so even though I went to church all my life, I remember him leading us into, and I love the Baptists, and I love the Methodists, and I love the Charismatics, whatever. I've been at all the different churches, but my church was specifically fairly dry. Like, there was a lot of the scriptures, which is amazing, but there wasn't a lot of meeting with the living God. And so so Roy really opened that door to me. And I can remember a specific moment during that summer. I think we were about to head into my senior year. I can remember going through a class with him, a specific class that he was doing. And it was talking about love relationship with the living God. And there was multiple things he was hitting, and I just remember thinking, man, I've never heard this in my entire life. I can still remember that thought. Like, why have I never heard about having a real relationship with the living God? And so that was a powerful moment. And that led me into my senior year, and I'll just kind of speed it up real quick. But I began to become alive in God, and God began to move in my life. And then I went on a mission trip after my senior year to Africa. So this is kind of like stepping stones, big moments in my life. And I was on this mission trip, went to the first ministry site where we were going to minister. And I had a leader, there was a ministry leader. And we're in South Africa, and we go up to this lady. And you could tell the lady was totally blind. She was like totally blind. She had a friend next to her. Friend spoke broken English. They had Afrikaans. The blind lady didn't speak any English at all. And my leader girl, she was like really fiery, more fiery than I was. I was like, whoa, you know. She's like, can we pray for her? Like, okay, you know, so the lady asked and we prayed. And she prayed that God would just touch this lady. That's basically, it was really a simple prayer. And I was just kind of along for the ride, like, whoa, you know, this is all new to me. And so then we started walking away. And as we're walking away, we start hearing, like just this screaming in different language. And we turn around and it's that blind lady just, like Afrikaans screaming. And we're like, whoa. And so we run back over and we're like, what's going on? What's going on? And her friend's trying to share with us. She sees like moving trees now. And we're like, what? I was especially like, whoa, like this sounds like the Bible, you know? Wow, you know? And so my leader girl, like, let's pray for her again. So we pray for her again. And pretty soon she has her full sight back. And so it was just, it was an amazing moment for me, right? Life changing. I came home, back home, and heard about all my friends' summer times. You know, yeah, we went, you know, camping and we did this. And that's all great. I still do that with my kids now. But I came home, I was like, I saw a blind lady healed, you know, and they're all like, you're crazy. You know, that's all my friends thought I was crazy. And that was not normal in the culture of where I lived. And so, but anyway, that began the process of really me getting to know the Lord in a real way. I had full ride scholarships to college via sports and or academics. I chose the academic side and did a full semester, but my heart, like, I was starting to meet with the Lord, starting to spend time with him. And the Lord, one day, I really felt pressed that I was supposed to do an internship and give a year of my life for Jesus and just really get to know him. Because I really didn't know him all that well, but I was really hungry to know him. And so I did that. So I abandoned my scholarships to my parents. You know, not saying if you're young in here and you have scholarships, keep trucking. But my parents were like, oh my gosh, I put my parents through so much over these years. So you can be praying for my parents. But I gave up those scholarships, went on this internship, best decision of my life. And it really led me down a lot of roads. And just to kind of let you know, I always, some days I feel like it's like a John the Baptist type lifestyle. I'm not eating crickets. But there was a season where all I ate was crackers and honey, because that's all I had in a little town, Three Rivers, Michigan. But from there, I moved to Michigan, almost hitchhiked there, because the Lord specifically during a fasting and prayer time, I was reading his word, I was digging in, and I just, in my mind, I heard Three Rivers, Michigan. And so some of you might be like, oh, that's crazy, I don't know. But for me, I was like, is there a Three Rivers, Michigan? You know, I was kind of curious. Like, is that a real city? That sounds kind of weird. So I literally look, and there is a Three Rivers, Michigan. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm supposed to go there. So I told my parents again. My parents are like, you're not going there. You need to stay here. And I was like, okay, I'll hitchhike. And they're like, here's the keys. And they gave me the keys to the car. You know, like, you're not going to hitchhike there from New Mexico. So I got to Michigan. God moved in a lot of ways there. Eventually lived in Durango, Colorado, and served the children's ministry there. I had a prayer internship, also led the college students. And then from there, served at a missions college in Minnesota, served there for a time. Then we RV'd full time on the road with three kids and did ministry. It wasn't vacation mode at all. A lot of intensity there, right, Arden? I don't know if Arden can remember all that. He was fairly young, but we RV'd with three kids. Then all of a sudden we landed on 4 acres of property in California, Whitmore, California. And God, again, we were in prayer, me and my wife, and we felt strongly, the Lord said, you're going to camp during this season. We're like, camping? My wife was not happy about that. We're camping for a season of our life. And so sure enough, this opportunity came up to steward this property in California. And so we lived in a trailer with no water, no gas. We had to like hike over to a building to do stuff. And there was about 29 goats and one sheep named Jesus, and according to the owners. And so we stewarded that property. It was pretty crazy for a season, chickens and apple trees and all that. And then eventually, there's other things that happened in that mix, but eventually we ended up back in Minnesota. And we just left Minnesota after 8 years and landed in Kansas City. So our journey and our life has been a little bit crazy and a lot of living by faith. And so I'm just really thankful. I love how the Lord has moved in my life and where he's led me. For some, I have really, really good friends. Love the Lord, pursue the Lord hard. And they've lived in the same city the whole time. And they are in love with the Lord. And so God calls each of us to different things. And so I just want to say that today as we talk, we're going to be talking about running the race and diving in. But wherever you're at, wherever God's positioning you, like I've talked to multiple of you that are, you know, you're doing jobs here in this area. You've been doing it for all your life. Maybe you've been going to this church all your life. I love that. And I just pray that this encourages you to keep going, keep serving, keep loving God in the midst of that. And so I want to pray for us as we lean in to the Lord. And so let's do it. Lord, I just ask you to meet us here. Just echo the prayer that Josh gave, Lord, that you would meet us here. Lord, that as we dive in the scriptures, Lord, you would encourage us as we run the race of this age, of this life. Lord, that we would set our hope and our eyes on you. Lord, that you're worthy. You're worthy of the struggles. You're worthy of the hardship. You're worthy of the good things, the joys and praises. Lord, you're worthy of it all. And we just say yes to you, Lord. We want to give you a big yes today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So growing up in Aztec, New Mexico, all my life, again, I grew up in the same place, same house. Parents are still there. In elementary school, we would do something called the fun run. Is there any fun run here? Where's Stoney? Stoney, maybe you should do the fun run at your school, man. So we would do the fun run at school, and it was a big deal. We did it once a year, and all the kids would do it. And per grade, you could try to see if you were the winner. And you'd run around the school three times, the huge school at the time. And it was me every year. It was me and my really good friend, Tyson Gobble. It always come down to me and Tyson, you know, who's going to win. And I was always a good long distance runner, but so was he. And so we would go for it. And every year, Tyson would win that race, and he would do it. And it was because he would build endurance. So this Tyson, even at his young age, his elementary age, he'd go out and he'd just go on runs. And I wasn't that disciplined at the time. I was probably at home playing Nintendo or something. I don't know. But anyway, so he would run, and it was because he had put in the effort, put in the time, put in the energy, and would win the fun run. I always get second, which was no fun. Also growing up in that same town in high school, I got to high school and we would do soccer. Is there any soccer players in here? Anybody? I know Arden's a soccer player. Okay. Soccer's not big here. What sport is big here? Football? It is Oklahoma. What? Hockey? Somebody say hockey? I'm just kidding. I just came from Minnesota. Hockey, that's all they talk about. So we would do soccer, and to build up to soccer, we would do what's called three-a-days. So ironically, Arden just was doing tryouts for a team this past week, and it was kind of like three-a-days. He would do 3 hours, but they would run us up hills and over the landscape. So it was a lot of cross-country type of running. And I would do fairly well in that, so much so that the cross-country runners would, the coaches would try to get me to join cross-country because I really enjoyed doing the long-distance running. But it took pace and endurance. It was brutal. Arden, how brutal was it this week? It was pretty brutal. Yeah, he came home pretty dead. So, but here's what it did for us, our soccer team, is it made us best in state. So in our state, we were really, really good. Like, didn't matter what team we played, we always outran them. Like, they might even be better than us, but we would always win because we would outrun them and outplay them because we had put in the effort and the time, and we were trained and skilled and ready to run the race of the game and beat them. So today we're going to talk about that, embracing the race. 1 Timothy 6:11-12. You, however, servant of God, must flee from all these things. Chase hard after righteousness, a godly life, faith, love, patience, endurance, and meekness. Keep running the good race of faith. Receive as your own prize the life of the coming age. So we're going to talk about continuing to run the good race of faith, or completing well in our faith, competing well in our faith. According to the NET version, it says that. So Matthew 24:13 also says, but the person who endures to the end will be saved. So my greatest desire and yearning for each one of us is that we would endure to the end in the race of this age, and that we would make it, that we would get to the prize. Like, if we don't do that, then nothing else really matters that we're doing. Like, we have to make that priority number one, and there's a lot of things gripping for number one in our lives. And so way back when I was sharing my testimony, that's what kind of hammered me. It's like, man, I need to, doesn't matter what I, and I say this to my kids, if you fail, son or daughter, at anything else, do not fail in running the race of this life. Do not fail in your prayer life. Do not fail in your study of the word. Do not fail in running with the living God. Make sure you know him, that you're with him. So my desire in coming here with you guys and for you guys is for you guys to endure to the end and be saved so that we can all be giving each other high fives in the age to come. So we're all on the track. I just want to talk about this real quick. I mean, maybe we're not all on the track, but those who say yes to Jesus and say yes to him, that Josh was talking about, those who have their faith and their trust in Jesus, we're on the track. We've stepped onto the track, we're there, and it's a serious thing. When you step onto the track, you're what? You're taking on the race. You're like, we're gonna run this race. And so I just wanna say that sometimes the obvious things, we're just kind of moving through life and we're cranking along, but the Lord reminds me often, hey, you're on the track, Rich. You're there, and you need to be ready to run the race. Or if you're running the race, Rich, you need to pick up the pace, whatever it might be, that we're all on the track. So not to fail, realizing that we can fail. We can get on the track, and the scriptures talk about being disqualified. Man, I don't want to be disqualified. I want to run the race to win the prize. And what is the prize? The prize is to be with him forever and ever, to be with him in the age to come, to be resurrected unto life, in my body, my new body on this earth, resurrected earth, and to live with him forever. That's my desire. That's my yearning. That's what I'm chasing after. So in your race, when you step on the track, it means business. It's a weighty thing to enter a race, to stand at the blocks and to compete for the prize. So I want you to hear me, this next thing. You don't finish well accidentally. You just don't. Just like I'm going to talk tomorrow a little bit about family devotionals at Sunday school. You don't parent your kids unto the Lord, and you can't get them saved and you can't force them to do things, but you don't parent them accidentally. Like, you don't disciple accidentally. Somebody's going to purposefully, if you try to do that, somebody will purposefully disciple them for you, right? It's the same thing with the race. Something is going to disciple you if you don't disciple yourself, if you don't lean in, if you don't surround yourself with brothers that push you to run faster or run ahead of you and draws you to run faster, whatever it might look like. So it's important that we realize we don't finish well accidentally. We should always come prepared. So when you run a race, you know, you got your cleats on, got the proper clothing. You're not going to wear like the sweatshirt and the baggy sweatpants, you know, and dress shoes. You know, you're gonna put the proper stuff on. You're gonna be hydrated. You're gonna have the water in hand. Mentally aiming to cross the line. So no runner steps on the track, gets in the blocks, has the shoes on, is prepared, and says, I'm gonna run halfway and take a break. No runner does that, right? Everybody's aiming to mentally cross that finish line, no matter how hard it is. So in saying yes to Jesus, we automatically are set to run the race for the prize of life found in the coming age. It's important to realize that we aren't on the sideline. Now, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, I guess most of us do, but if you're here and that's not you, and you are on the sideline, man, let this time today be you getting on the track. Step up. There's lots of guys here that would love to just love you. I'm a hugger, man. Some of you guys are like, okay, I'm gonna stay away from Rich now. But man, I'll hug you, give you all kinds of love. But man, let's get on the track and let's start running the race, because it literally is an eternal decision. Like, it's better than any, it's the most important decision of anything else in your life. It really, really is. So we're not on the sideline for a lot of us. We absolutely should cheer each other on and even help drag each other across the line. Like, some of you are facing struggles right now. Some of you are having hardship. Man, pick each other up and drag each other across the line. Be vulnerable, be honest. Like, today we're gonna have time together. We should be honest and vulnerable with each other and just be like, I need your prayers, and then pray for each other. So the question is, who will endure to the end, cross the finish line? Today is about that. that we all will cross together. My prayer is that we're in the coming age. We're resurrected unto life. We're with Jesus. We're like, whoa, giving high fives. And we're like, we made it. Part of the reason we made it was because of today. August, is it the 5th? August 5th. Today was a day that marked me crossing the finish line. Like, I was doing okay, but in retrospect, when I get to the heavens, or I get to be with the Lord, and I'm with him, and I'm spending time with him, and I'm resurrected unto life, and I look back and I go, man, those other things that happened after the 5th, if I would not have committed and given Jesus the big yes on the 5th, I might not have been there. I might not be here right now, resurrected unto life. So my prayer is that today is an important day for all of us, that we're all saying yes and yanking each other across the line. So when you run, you gotta pace yourself, right? You gotta pace yourself. You gotta endure to the end. Man, there is, that's a great word study, actually. I've done it many times. A word study in the Bible on endure, endurance, long suffering. Like, even that word, you're like, oh, who wants to suffer long? I do. You know, no one wants to suffer long. But those are key terms in this age. This age is but a vapor, right? It's here one day and it's gone the next. It's like really quick. And so some of us, you know, some of you guys that are older, you're like, yeah, it is really quick, man. It's going by really fast. And man, I want us to run this vapor of a life unto the real prize. So there's a lot of things we can get prizes in this age. I've given up, just to say it for me personally, I've given up a lot of prizes. I could be living a far easier life. My life right now is really tough, honestly. But I can do it with joy. I can do it with like Tigger mode. And this isn't fake. What you're seeing right now from me is not fake Richie. This is who I am day in and day out. And it's because my faith is in something else. I'm on the track, I'm cleated up, and my face is like Flint with a big smile, right? I'm running this thing with joy in my heart, but I've had to suffer long. I've had to endure. It says those who take the difficult road, it leads to life, right? The road that leads to life is difficult. We gotta run that thing, we gotta endure. So we need to find a rhythm of consistency in really one thing. This is huge. One thing we really need to find consistency in rhythm is Jesus and seeking him and knowing him, spending time with him. So this time right now isn't about me jumping in and unlocking how to seek Jesus. There is so much wisdom in front of me. Like, all of you have tons of wisdom related to your pursuit with Jesus. So you're gonna be able to strengthen and encourage each other in how do I seek the Lord? How do I run this race? How do I study the word? Man, what does it look like to pray? What does it look like to serve well and do that? Like when that lady was healed, right? The blind lady was healed. It's like, this is a taste of the coming resurrection, right? Like when you're studying the word and you're digging in and you're seeking the Lord and you're knowing the living God and he reveals himself through the Bible, then when you see somebody healed, you can declare, this is what that means. You can be saved too in the day when he restores all things, when all eyes are healed. You can be with him. Jump on the track with me and let's run the race, right? So you can call people into that, but you do need to dive in, right? We need to cleat up. We need to get in the word. We need to put the proper clothing on. We need to pray, right? We got to do those things. It's really important. And to do it consistently. So I put that word in there specifically, consistent. Consistency is just really key. You all know what it means. I'm not going to hammer on it. But man, just that we consistently lean in. If there was something super important to us, and there are things that are important to us, the things most important we do consistently. We just do, right? Because we love those things. We want to excel in those things, whatever it might be. Jesus needs to be at the top of that list. So in order to run the race to the end, we got to lay aside, throw off, strip off every entanglement, right? Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us. So if we don't lay aside the hindrances, we will stumble. And it's likely. I just want to say it. It's important that we all say this to each other. It's likely we will stumble. There's going to be things that we do stumble in. But it's important that we get up, but we will stumble. But let's try to throw off every possible thing that ensnares us, that hinders us, that causes us to stumble. When allowing the world to shift our gaze away from the prize and looking back or around while running down the track, we'll become vulnerable to stumbling and falling. I can't tell you how many race videos I've seen. I'm sure you guys have seen some of these. These guys, and I wasn't a track guy, but I do enjoy watching some track and field. But where the guy's running and he's like, yeah, and he's like, you see this in football too, right? They're about to run across and they're like, yeah, that's showmanship, right? And then the guy knocks the ball out of his hand and he fumbles right at the 1 yard line. Or when they're running and they're like, yeah, I'm the winner. And then the guy passes and gets first. We don't want to be that guy, right? We want to run all the way through the finish line to not shift our gaze at the last minute. So Proverbs 4:23, let's hit a few more scriptures here. Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. Let your eyes look forward, fix your gaze straight ahead. Carefully consider the path of your feet, and all of your ways will be established. Don't turn to the right or the left, but keep your feet away from evil. So, yeah, I'm gonna stop. Carefully consider. So I'm about to dive in with a bunch of teenage boys every day for the coming weeks. It's a school I'm gonna be at, and I'm doing Bible with these boys, these teenage boys. And I love it, because in that time, we're picking apart chunks of scripture, and then they get to kind of share along the way what they're getting out of it. So as I read this scripture, I was like, carefully consider the path for your feet. And so for us, what happens is when you're in prayer and you're seeking Jesus or you're in the Word, all of a sudden, you begin to carefully consider what you're doing. Like, how am I running? Right? Anything you do and you do it well, you get really, really good at it. You start fine-tuning that thing. You're like, okay, if I run with my stride this way, or if I put my shoes on this way, or if I do this, or if I tighten them that way, or if this type of clothing slows me down in that way. So we're carefully considering how we're living our life, how we're fixing our eyes, what are we doing with who we are and how we're running, so that we don't turn to the right, we don't turn to the left, we keep our eyes straight forward, we're not distracted and stumbling. Mark 4, the seed sown here on the hard bedrock represents these people. When they hear the message, they immediately receive it with joy. We've all heard this, the parable, right? In these people, the message doesn't take deep enough root. However, and they endure only for a short time. Later on, when affliction or persecution occurs because of the message, they quickly stumble with offense. So we want to be those that are rooted, grounded, that we're not stumbling with offense, that we're locked in. The message is deep in us. So stay humble and don't stumble. That's my phrase right there. Stay humble, don't stumble, guys. Let's stay humble. Romans 15. Now may the God who enables you to endure and who exhorts and strengthens you grant you the same kind of humble attitude toward one another in keeping with the example of the Messiah Jesus, so you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, together in unity with one voice. So who enables us to endure? God. Now may the God, again, just looking at the scriptures and digging in. So if it was me and I was in my time with Jesus, just to give you a little example, I'd be like, I would read this verse and be like, Lord, you enable me to endure. So I ask you, help me to endure. I cry out to you, Lord, just taking the scripture and praying it back to the living God. Just asking him, help me. You're the one. You're the endurance coach I need. Give me endurance, Lord. Help me, because life is tough. Keep me with a humble attitude so I don't stumble. So if we do get tripped up, we shouldn't give up. Don't get tripped up and give up. So next phrase there, get up. Don't get tripped up. When you get tripped up, don't give up. Get up. Proverbs 24:16. Though a righteous person falls 7 times, he will get up, but the wicked will stumble into ruin. So, yeah, I can't tell you. Even my little town I grew up in, a lot of amazing friends I had, but evil overtook them over time. This, I can't tell you how raging the spirit of the age is right now. There's a rage going on. Like, I have a heart for children, And I have a heart for teenagers and young people. And man, if the Lord leads you, I just encourage you to pray. Pray for our young people. All of you older guys, pray for our young people. Because there is things raging against this generation that's keeping them in bondage that we can't even see with our eyes. And it's sneaking in all kinds of ways. So there's a lot of evil seeking to come in and take them apart, cause them to stumble. It used to be 15, 16. It's at 7, 8, 9 now. Maybe younger that's causing them to stumble. It's pretty horrific. So, man, if we're falling down, if we're seeing little kids fall down in different ways, grab them and pick them up, man. If you see one stumble, pick them up. Don't let them stumble into ruin like the scripture talks about. There's a young lady, obviously I was just living in Minnesota, and Minnesota has a good track program at the University of Minnesota, the Gophers. Go Gophers. It's not a very encouraging mascot, but you know, me and Arden love the Gophers. We're Gophers fans. But there's this one young lady, Heather Dornadin, I don't know if I'm saying her last name right, but this video is pretty well known, but she's from the University of Minnesota. And it's a phenomenal thing she did. And so this really testifies to us. I want it to be something that speaks to us, that when we fall down, it doesn't matter how far back in the pack we are. It doesn't matter where we're at in the race. Just get up and start running. Just do it. So let's throw the video up, Josh. Let's do it.
The 600 meter underway. Heather Dornadin, Minnesota, finished second in this event a year ago. She is in lane four.
And Dornadin is probably going to be your favorite. She actually won the NCAA championships in 2006 in the 800, but she only won one Big Ten championship in the 2 years.
Three laps.
So there she is with the big M right there.
600 meters, three times around the 200 meter track here at the Fieldhouse.
What a bold move by Fawn. She's looking very confident, and the Penn State runner is just running amazing today. She did win her heat in the 400, but ended up taking fourth overall.
That's Fawn Dorr moving into the lead, a sophomore from Penn State. Dornadin running second.
Dornadin last year scored 23 points for the Golden Gophers in their Big Ten championship, so they're really relying on getting a lot of points from her this weekend, and she's just coming by Fawn Dorr now in the home stretch, heading into the bell lap.
Dornadin falling down.
So there's the fall.
Quickly, but that's going to cost her.
See how
lucky
fast she popped up?
Injured.
Her teammate just went to the front, though, so they may be able to recover from that. And Dornadin is flying down the backstretch.
She is catching up.
She is going to catch Fawn Dorr, and she may catch the leaders.
Wow.
But she's got Fawn.
This is a gutsy effort by Dornadin. Can't she pull it off? She's moving to third. Dornadin coming down the stretch from the outside. Dornadin coming on strong. Dornadin all the way. Dornadin. Yes. Yes. She did it.
Wow. All right, you can cut it, Josh.
That is...
Yeah, pretty amazing. We all have stumbled. We've all been Heather, right? Like where we've stumbled on the track. But man, I just encourage you guys to pop up and keep running. It's difficult. Difficult is the way that leads to life. Get up. Like right now, you might have stumbled. You might be Heather on the track. I don't know where each of you guys are at. I seriously don't. But I had stumbled. Like I saw Josh a few weeks ago at a conference, and my heart was stumbling. I was a broken man. I was like, man, I shouldn't be speaking to these guys in a few weeks. That's what I was feeling. Like, and I've ran through a lot of hardship over the years. A lot of financial hardship, family hardship, different things. And God met me. Like, I just was meeting with him. I was saying, God, yes. I was saying yes, consistently putting the stuff on and saying yes to him and training for the race. And at that conference, man, it was a joy to be able to share it with Ryan and Josh and the crew that was there and Andrew. Like, guys, I got up. I'm running. Like, I'm not down anymore. Like, my heart was heavy. I was waking up with significant anxiety. That's never happened to me. I've never been in a season like that. And the Lord met me there. And so I just encourage you guys, man, just like I was like Heather, I want you guys to be like Heather. There's going to be moments maybe you're not stumbled right now and you're running at a fast pace. Maybe you're Heather coming down the backstretch. That's awesome. You know, but if you have stumbled, get up. Keep trucking. Keep going. We've all stumbled. We need each other. So encourage each other along the way. The race is before us. This is really the last thing I really want to share, or one of the last things. The race is before us. Hebrews 12, let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes. So I've already read this, but I just want to focus on this specific piece, that the race is before us. Where is the race not? Behind us. The race is before us. And so I find, oh, like my heart is so grieved over so many men that I have ran with in the past that loved God. And they started looking behind them and they stumbled and flopped off the track. And they're not on the track anymore. And I'm begging them to get back on the track. Where they looked back and they're married and they have kids. They're like, this is really hard. Man, I never got to do my 20s and party. And they're looking back. They divorced their wife. Their kids are a mess. And they're going off to party, but it led to nothing. And they're just a mess now. They don't know what to do with life. It's hard for them to humble themselves and come back. And so I just encourage you, man, the race is before us. Keep your head up. Keep your face forward. Again, like Josh encouraged in the front end, there is a day coming. This life is short. It is but a vapor. So don't live for this age. Live for the next age. It is well worth it. Paul would tell us, please, you'd be begging us. I'm still young, man. I'm 44, so I'm still young. Even I can see, man, it's way better to be looking forward and facing forward, not looking back. When we start looking back, we start stumbling. We don't want to be like Lot's wife, right? She looked back. Does anyone know what happened to Lot's wife? She turned to the salt and boom, she's gone. You know, she looked back. The Lord's like, do not look back. She looked back. Just don't do it. Be like Jesus. Set your eyes on the sure hope. Put your confidence in what is coming. Let that center your gaze and focus our energy in this age. So Jesus, while he was on this earth, struggling, all the different things he was going through, his eyes were set on the hope. His eyes were set on the resurrection. His eyes were set on our resurrection, not just his own, but ours. So let us do the same as him. Jesus says, be like me. I am your example. Go to the cross like I went to the cross. And raise to life like I rose to life if you set your eyes on the cross. So you cling to the cross while setting your eyes on the prize. That's what we got to do. Be like Jesus. 1 Peter 1:13, one of my favorite verses. Josh, how am I doing on time? Okay. 1 Peter 1:13. That is why bracing your minds for a difficult race. I'm just going to let that hang out there. That is why bracing your minds for a super easy race. That's not what it says. For a difficult, like the word of God is like beating it into us. Difficult, hard, endure well, persevere. I can't tell you how many people try to skip over all of that. And here's the beautiful thing is we can do it with joy. We can be full of joy because our hope is not in what's happening tomorrow or yesterday. It's happening in what's going to happen at the day of the Lord when he returns and restores all things. That's a difficult thing, but we can actually have that if we put on the cleats and the gear and do all the stuff. That's why bracing your minds for a difficult race and exercising self-control, you can if you want. No. You must. Like, this is scripture. So all of us who really hold the scripture, you ain't joking here. You must set your hope a little bit. And some on the gracious salvation. No? There's a lot of big words here. You must set your hope fully and completely on the gracious salvation that will be granted to you. Yes, when Jesus the Messiah is revealed. What is he talking about? He's talking about the day when Jesus breaks through the clouds and resurrects our bodies and restores all things and sits on the throne in Jerusalem in Israel on a restored earth. That's what he's talking about. So brace your minds for a difficult race. And while you're running that difficult race, you must, it's not an option, you must and completely put your hope fully in the salvation that is coming. Set your eyes all the way forward. Just gaze down the track. Set your goal towards the prize. You must. We must do that. Jobs are difficult. Marriages are difficult. Life is difficult. And when difficulty comes, what are we tempted to do? To look over our shoulder. We're tempted to look over our shoulder. Don't do it. Just don't do it. It's important. There's a group of people, part of the internship that me and my wife did back in the day, when I gave up those scholarships and I went on the internship, one thing they do at the internship is they take you to Pikes Peak. Has anybody been to Pikes Peak, Colorado? All right. Has anyone hiked it? Anyone hiked it? Oh, man, good. You don't hike it. Okay. But I was hiking it. It was part of our like challenge, right? Like this internship was like a lot of physical, like you're just, they're building endurance in us and doing it along the gospel. And I remember we're like trudging up and it's called the halfway house, right? You get to halfway and you can turn back, right? So you can do the turn back thing. And of course, you know, Dave Haas, our leader's like, no, we're going, you know, we're like, you know, dying. And I just remember we were about 3/4 of the way up and we got to the, what they call the 16 steps, which is really like 500 billion steps. It's so deceptive. It's not 16 steps. And we're getting close to the 16 steps. And all of a sudden, this 70-year-old guy, he had to have been over 70. He's like, and he's got his like little, and he just runs past us. And we're like, oh my gosh, what is that guy drinking this morning? We need it, you know? And so that was bad. But then it wasn't but like 20 minutes later, here he comes. He's running by us and going back down. I was just going to the top and then they give you a ride down. I wasn't gonna hike back down. This guy's like running up and running back down. He just ran past us. And I just, guys, I just want to give us that picture because I want us to be like that guy. That guy had trained. You could tell he was running that mountain a lot. And he was not fazed. He actually had enjoyment. He had a smile on his face. When he ran past us, I think he was like, hey, guys. And we're like, shut up. You know, we're dying on the mountain. So Hebrews 12, I just want to hit it one more time. There's these multiple. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, so that you won't grow weary and give up. So consider him. And I'm gonna talk a little bit on Sunday morning for those who will be there, just about the tabernacle and the priest stepping in and setting his eyes. When the priest would come into the tabernacle, he'd set his eyes on the lamb or the goat or the dove or whatever was being sacrificed. That his eyes, the first thing he hit was that altar of burnt offerings. So for us, our lamb is Jesus. And when we consider, like, and I speak about the tabernacle in context of prayer a lot of times. But when I'm in prayer and I'm giving thanks and I'm like, thank you, Lord, for my wife. Thank you, Lord, for my kids. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in my heart in this difficult time. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I'm just giving declarative thanksgiving for 45 minutes straight sometimes. And then the climax of that thanksgiving is when I focus my eyes on the altar burnt offerings, when I consider the lamb that has allowed me to step into the presence of the living God. And then I just bust over with tears. Man, Lord, a grown man shouldn't be crying. But I'm like, oh, Lord, you love me. Oh. And you just consider him. You take the time to consider him and the hostility and the sacrifice and the crown of thorns and the whipping and the bones that were probably able to be seen from the flesh ripping off. And the fact that he chose to pick that cross up and chose to carry it. And man, as you consider him, you won't grow weary and you won't give up. So that you won't grow weary and give up. It says it, Hebrews 12. So I just want us to learn how to do that. Set our eyes. Same with the heroes of the faith. So we're reading out of Hebrews 12, right? I'm focusing a lot on Hebrews 12. But Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter, right? We all know, oh, Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. But the key question is, what were those guys putting their faith in? Their faith was in one thing. Like all those guys, the faith chapter is about faith in the restoration of all things. They were longing for Eden to happen again on the earth. That's why they're talked about in Hebrews 11. And then you get to 12, right? So Hebrews 12 is on the back of Hebrews 11, talking about faith in, the faith. And yes, we want to have faith. But then he shifts in 12 and he says, you've got to run this hard race first. So I just encourage you guys, Hebrews 11, check it out, read it, dive into it again for the 50 billionth time, and just see, man, these guys were clinging to the hope. They're clinging to the Messiah coming and reigning on the throne again, and there being no more death, no more sickness, no more disease. That was what they put their faith in, and it allowed them to run the races they ran, and a lot of them ran very, very difficult races. So it's just a great combination, 11 and 12. 1 Timothy 4, for the training of the body has limited benefit, but godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. Again, come on, Paul. He's telling, this saying is trustworthy. It's deserving of some acceptance, partial acceptance, no, full acceptance. For this reason, we labor and we strive. So when Paul says this, for this reason, we labor and we strive, he's like, for this reason, I get whipped and I get bitten and I get shipwrecked. And for this reason, right? I labor and I strive, which is kind words for what he went through, because we have put our hope in the living God. It's not just like, oh, I put my hope in God. He's just so cool. No, I put my hope that he's going to do what he said he would do, that his promises are yes and amen. And that promise is that my kids will no longer get sick someday. And that I'll overcome death like he did. That's what I'm doing. That's what my hope's in. All right, finish well. Finish together. Last verse, 1 Corinthians 9. Don't you know that the runners in a stadium all race, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way to win the prize. This is my statement to all of us. It's my challenge to us. Run in such a way to win the prize. Everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. They do it to receive a perishable crown, but we, an imperishable crown. So I do not run like one who runs aimlessly or box like one beating the air. Instead, I discipline my body and bring it under strict control so that after preaching to others, I myself may not be disqualified. So some of us, the aimless and the boxing of the air is actually our discipline in other things. We might be super disciplined. I'm a super disciplined guy, actually. And for a long time, I was very disciplined in some really awesome things that added value and fruitfulness in a lot of ways to life. But they took away from my life in Christ. So I just want to say that just because we're disciplined in life doesn't mean we're disciplined in Christ. And we really need discipline in him so we can win that prize. So my challenge to us today, just for you guys to consider, is what I mentioned earlier. At the end of the day, right? At the end of the day of the Lord, at the end of this age, not just, I mean, yes, at the end of our lives too, but like there's a day coming. I want you guys to feel challenged to see each other there. That every one of you, I don't know who knows who, but you probably will bump into each other, even if you don't know each other. Out of this, it might start study groups, prayer meetings, I don't know. But like, I want to challenge you guys, you and you and you, I want to see each of you on that day. I want to see you raised to life. I don't want you to perish in a lake of fire, because that's coming. I want you to be with me. Don't get disqualified. Run the race with me. Let's do this thing where you guys call each other forward. It's important. All right, I just want to pray. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray for each of us here. I ask that your Holy Spirit would come, Lord, and you know what's going on in our lives. You know the muck and mire we might be in. You know maybe the fervent race and the pace that we're running at in a good way for you. Lord, whatever it might be, Lord, that you would just reveal what it is you desire of us, individually and as a corporate body of men in this church and the churches of the surrounding area. Lord, I ask that there would be a yes. Lord, this is a place of crisis for many men. Many men, they're in crisis. And they struggle to say yes because they know what it might mean. But Lord, I pray together, in corporate faith, we would say a yes to you. We would run for you. And Lord, we would see that we're not doing it alone. Help us. Help us as we run, Lord. Let us be like Heather, Lord. If we've stumbled, pop right back up. Lord, it did not deter her aim. She wasn't like, oh, I guess I can at least finish the race. That was not her thinking when she popped up. She was like, I can win this. So Lord, I just pray that those that have stumbled, that they would pop up and be like, I can win this. The prize is mine. I can do this. Holy Spirit, help me. So Lord, I ask that you would increase prayer lives of the men in this room, that you would increase Bible study of the men in this room. Lord, that there would be a powerful combination of prayer and the word and fellowship that would bring about a witness in this area, in stores, city council buildings, barber shops, I don't care. But Lord, that there would be something, they'd be like, whoa, something's happening over there. And the men are rising up. Like there's something really happening. So Lord, we just ask for you to come and move in the lives of each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Richie. All right. So the next thing we're going to do